Hare Krishna. Here I am in Tirupati. You can hear the street noise in the background and also temple sounds. Although class is over and I think everyone's gone for breakfast. And my apologies for not being able to do any up-to-date podcast, but we've been quite busy at organizational development meetings for the last, well, this is the third day, and it's been a busy time. But here we are. The meetings have been very interesting. Whole variety of topics that have been discussed. What's one of them? One of them has been the tendency for GBCs, myself included, to hand in their resignation, and should GBCs in their early 60s retire or not. And it's an interesting discussion. In fact, I have to admit, although my plan is to retire next year as a zonal GBC and have Radha Krishna Prabhu take over, provided that he's given that ability, or that he's given the permission or blessing to do so, which is not 100% at this stage. My feeling is that I'd like to be able to supervise the training and development of someone doing in service, in situ, not do it in a theoretical way, but actually do it while someone is doing that practice. And of course, I'm not going anywhere. I'm going to be as much in Hungary as I am in Hungary now, but I'd like to be able to oversee that transition and help him in taking the reins directly there as I'm in the spot. And I don't really think that GBC men should just continue doing their service until they're unable to even move and need to be transported in wheelchairs into the posts and so on. And especially, of course, they really can't do one part of the service that's very important for a GBC person, which is to travel. And even traveling in a little zone like mine has its consequences. On the other hand, one very interesting item came up yesterday. One argument from those who say that GBC members shouldn't just resign so freely, and that Srila Prabhupada said that a GBC member should stay for life, which I interpret that they can stay for life, not that they must stay for life. And that is that this, what someone called the Acharya quotient. The Acharya quotient is compromised. There is certainly a good argument in the idea that, yes, when you have senior members with decades of experience, wisdom, knowledge, that isn't going to be so easily replaced by devotees who may be one or even two generations, they're junior. not replaced for the functioning of the body, and to actually gain the confidence of the members of the Krishna consciousness movement. They want to know that they're really being led not only just by good managers, but also by sadhus, by wise men. And it did make me rethink whether I should resign or not, but it does make me determined that I would stay on, if requested, on the GBC body in some capacity, if not as a zonal secretary, in order to assist any particular way that I can to realize the stability, the leadership, and the integrity of the GBC body. So that was one interesting discussion. Another one was that zonal supervisors, which are the devotees who are next down from the GBC members, that zonal supervising is part of the new geographic division of the ISKCON into 133 zones. So those who are supervising those zones, either one zone or a few, under a GBC representative. Those on the supervisors will be having to get some education, qualification. And amazingly enough, since the idea was proposed, I think during Mayapur festival this year, a college is in the making in Mumbai. Coursework is nearly complete. And everything's in line or on schedule for the first training courses for zonal supervisors, some of whom may then in the future become GBC members, for these zonal supervisors to begin the education and preparation that's going to be required of them in March. And that's two times, 2 week in-house courses given there in Mumbai, and in between the spring and fall, 2 week session, online training, communication, and so on. So it's a full 1 year course with expected ongoing refresher courses and so on. So here the idea will be is that yes, our leaders of Vaishnavas must be trained and they must qualify for the positions of leadership within the society, and that's going on. Another event, not such a fortunate event, is the news of Jayaprakash Swami Maharaj's ill health. And it seems like he's in a precarious, at least earlier on, was a very precarious situation. And I say precarious because it had to do with his liver and some other malady. I don't know all the details because I'm only getting information here secondhand. He's in Delhi in a hospital, and but the information was that although things were quite critical a few days ago, but that he's had a turn for the better. He's received good medication, and the result of that medication is that he's going to also undergo some kind of surgery. And I heard that surgery would be today, but then who knows, these things change. But in any case, it calls for Vaishnav's prayers. Dr. Maharaj is such an important member of our Krishna consciousness movement, and despite his previous health setback a few years back, he really continues to, in a very infirm situation, continue to do service. It's amazing. That's all you can say. How someone, it's amazing that he was able to make that recovery, and over and above that, to actually continue doing full-time service, traveling, dealing with issues, and of course I've been in many meetings with him, being fully aware and fully cognizant of everything. Even though he has a speech impediment, but he remembers everything, can articulate everything that needs to be said, and continues to have a very valuable and important contribution. So devotees' prayers for His Holiness, and I'll try to keep making podcasts, but it's difficult. Things are quite intense, and in terms of the meeting schedule and everything else that's taking place, that means meetings outside of meetings, but we'll do our best. Hare Krishna.